Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
And I want to get the wisdom moment in today. The wisdom moment today is Proverbs 26:10. Proverbs 26:10. It reads, like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. Think about it. Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or a passerby. Think about it, a passerby, somebody just passing by. When you see someone on the side of the road holding up a sign that says, we'll work for food, I mean, our hearts just really go out. You know, it really goes out and says, you know what, I really want to be able to do something for them. I want to be able to find them a work. Of course, if you do not have a place for them to work or do not know a place for them to work or have a business that you can hire them at and that type of thing, you immediately think, well, I'm just going to go ahead and provide them some finances for some food or give them some food. But even if you did, you know, wisdom says that you don't know them. You don't know who they are. They're passerbyers. They're people that are just passing by. And you would be more than likely, if to do this is to bring in harm to the others who work at your company, or bring in harm to your company or yourself. So really, it's best thing to do until you get to know them is just give them some food, build a relationship, you know, provide for them in a certain way. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, well, I'm just going to get them a job. And your employees go, well, thank you for bringing this stranger in, mm-hmm. you know, and not, you know, still take care of them. But before you integrate them into the employment place here, let's get to know them. Mm-hmm. Let's look around like on wanted posters.
Right. See
what's happening here, you know. And when you're looking for employees, particular looking for a job, for example, and you don't have a job, there's a process you're going to go through. There's a process you're going to go through so they can get to know you and you can get to know them. If they didn't do this, this lets you know, by the way, that you're probably going to be harmed in that workplace, mm-hmm. or you could potentially bring harm to the workplace, because that means the next people that they're going to hire, they're not going to invest in anyway either. So you want to mm-hmm. be able to go through a process, because wisdom says that's what you need to know. And finally, think about this. If you own your own business, you need to be careful about who you hire. There needs to be a standard process in which you get to know your applicants, and they need to be able to know you and know your business before you hire them, including, you know, asking them and asking for references and checking references. It reminds me of a particular applicant I had once when I had a particular company I was hiring for, which is a tedious process and going through that. And I remember getting an application from this one particular man and his resume that it was amazing. After interviewing all these people, his resume had everything on it. I didn't realize that anybody knew anything about our business the way that our business was. I was just totally surprised. And of course, I asked for references and I followed up and checked the references. And I found out that all this knowledge he said he got and all these people that he said he worked for them like 1 to 2 days. And he got fired. He got fired. I mean, how important is it to listen to God's wisdom and understand, listen, this is the wisdom moment for today. Proverbs 26:10, like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. If you want to, review what's taking place in America, our founding fathers, the original intent of how things are designed and how, you know, presently there's a scheme, there's a plan going on to surpass your every representative that you put in place mm-hmm. to look after you, which means you got to start looking after you. If our representatives allow themselves to be looked over, then you're going to have to look.
Right.
You know, you can't say shame on you. You let me be taken captive and take my First Amendment rights away. You know, it's like, no, shame on us.
Right.
We need to get involved because this is a government by the people and for the people. Mm-hmm. We cannot blame government when we're the ones that put them there.
That's right.
But we can change government that lines up with our values, you know, the values of our founding fathers. And that's what's so beautiful about the design, that, you know, if we do make mistakes and things are happening that are contrary to our value system, although we'll suffer for a while, that, mm-hmm. you know, with that, We can recover by begin to change, and it takes a while to change. I mean, mm-hmm. it takes a while. I like the way President Reagan, when he came in, mm-hmm. he just started going by the law. He started going by the law and just said, okay, fine. If you're going to go on strike, mm-hmm. you're fired. But he did. He fired all the air traffic controllers because we've got to undo this thing that says the very people that we elected to represent us, mm-hmm. we can't let employees that work for us in the tax dollar determine our tax base because they now are unionized and they're telling the unions, the federal unions now, mm-hmm. are telling the taxpayer in a roundabout way that you're going to have to pay more taxes because we have a union and you can't pay us less, you can't fire us, you can't do this. And so now, mm-hmm. and it was said, FDR said in the very beginning, he said that it's a travesty. It's a travesty with even thinking about that no federal employee on the federal till should be involved in some union, some bargaining powers, mm-hmm. because they're working for you, the taxpayer. Right. They're working for the American citizen. And so if they have that kind of power, then they're legislating to you. Mm-hmm. They're telling you based on their union bargainings, the federal government. You're looking at, postal unions. You're looking at, all these unions in the federal government. And that was given because people wanted power, mm-hmm. The more you give. And they say that a democracy ends once the people find out that they can vote themselves treasures out of the coffers of their nation, out of the treasure mm-hmm. of their nation. It was said, in the 1800s. And so here it is. And so when you think federal union, you're thinking, think about this, that means that they can determine what their wage is going to be. Mm. They can determine what their health care plan is going to be. And they could tell the person that you elected that you have to pay us this amount of money and you can't fire us.
Right.
And so then the one that you actually represent you is now representing the union. And they're going to come back to you and say, listen to their constituents. I'm going to have to raise your taxes because, these are federal employees and they have a union. And they're the ones in power here. And we have to, that's the federal law says that they have a right now to be able to do that. And it's like, oh, my goodness. Bubba's got, he's the one running the country. He's like, because he's determined these huge pay packages. I mean, they say the average pay for federal employees is like $75,000. The average.
Wow.
And that's taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. And if you need federal employees, that's one thing. But having a unionized federal employee, which means they tell your elected officials in a roundabout way is how much they're going to have to come tell you how much they need to raise the taxes to be able to sustain their desired income and their desired health care plan. Mm-hmm. And that's it. This is amazing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And you don't think about that if you're not paying close attention, but remember, it's a government by the people for the people, so you need to pay attention. And nobody really that's in a union complains about a union.
it's
amazing
so much.
How it works, mm-hmm. But when the federal government, I'm just totally outside, I'm talking specifically about federal government, that as a Christian, the Lord tells us that we're supposed to submit to our bosses as unto the Lord. And if they don't pay us right, James writes about that the wages they fail to pay us cry out against them before God. But we're not supposed to force their hand and make them pay us. But God will, God will. But he says very specifically, he'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. And granted, there's evil people and people do things, but you can, in America, you can change jobs.
That's right.
You can change jobs. But forcing your employer to pay you money when there was a day that you didn't have a job and that you said, man, I sure do need a job, and you went through monster search, or you went something out your resumes and you went and talked to all your friends and families, where most people get jobs mm-hmm. through references of people.
Right.
And then you get hired up and you were so humble that day. You were so grateful that you got a job, and you're telling everybody at your church gathering, I just want to thank the Lord that, God provided for me. He did. And now 6 months later, you're telling them how to run the company. You're complaining about the benefits plan. Mm-hmm. You're saying that your hourly wage is not enough. Mm-hmm. You're saying that you should be treated better, that there's partiality in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what happened to the gratitude?
Yep.
What happened to the man and the woman that was sitting there shaking at the interview hoping that they would get the job, not knowing if they would get it or not.
That's right.
Where did the pride come from? You know, and now it increased from there to finally people said, you know what, we need to unionize. We need to tell these people. It's like, there was a day you didn't have a job, you know?
That's right.
And now there's many days and many people don't have jobs. Mm-hmm. But maybe we should not have strong-handed our employer. Maybe we shouldn't have tied their hands and say, you owe me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now we allow that, and now it's happening in the government. It's happening everywhere.
Right.
And where's the gratitude for the man or the woman who painstakingly laid out the foundation and believed for a business and hammered it out and many times for years just paid the employees, not even themselves. And now there's something that's been going for some time that you show up at this particular business, but you don't understand. It started from an idea. It started from a word. It started from somebody that was brave enough to try and do something. And now you're working for what was an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was somebody that just hammered out and did the groundwork, the entrepreneurial spirit in America that people who don't live in America that are wanting to come here to be able to do that. Now, this generation just wanting to show up as somebody and exist in somebody else's entrepreneurial benefit and then tell them how to do it. It's like, that's just so offensive to the person who, you know, needed to hire employees because their idea grew so big and so large that they needed to give you a job and help you with your family.
Right.
And you work, they pay you, and that's it.
That's it.
You know, and that if you don't like that arrangement, then you go, you know what, I'm going to put in my 2 weeks notice and I'm out of here. And so, but now we turn into this everybody's like cords tying everybody to everybody. And now it looks like that's manifesting spiritually where the government is now going to tie themselves to the people.
Mm.
You know, and there is no bargaining. I mean, the Lord says, come and reason with me, but he's not saying come and change my word. He says, okay, there'll be another way to me other than through Jesus. I mean, he's not going to say that.
Right.
He's going to let you know about his mercy and his grace and his love for you and his willingness to forgive you. And, you know, that's reasoning with God. And, but it's not, there's no bargaining.
Right.
You know, and so I just want to encourage you this morning, you know, be thankful and grateful for your job. You know, God blesses the work of your hands.
Right.
You know, and as you're working, just thank God for it. And if you need a job, change your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Change your perspective to where, Lord, if you give me a job, I'll be grateful for it. And I'll write this statement down and pin it to the wall so I can look at it for the next 10 years. And if I ever start complaining, Lord, remind me about it that I didn't have one before I asked you for one.
That's right.
And the Lord, you know, spoke to me early on when all this stuff started to unfold. And of course, when you're speaking prophetically, people think you're, you know, you're losing it. How could this be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see a hand. It's writing on the wall. It's not good. Party, you know. And the one thing that the Lord had on my heart was there'll be a day that a man, a CEO who formerly wore a suit, will be working in Kmart, or no, in Walmart.
Walmart, yeah.
And he'll, which is a big adjustment, and he'll be grateful.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
What are the religious rights of students in public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter is in the fifth grade. They have an open house, and I asked her to let her teacher know that we were not going to be able to make it because we leave to go to church. Her teacher responded back that church is not an excuse not to be there, that if she misses, that she's going to have to make up by doing an oral in front of other classrooms.
Well, first of all, they have to accommodate your daughter's sincerely held religious beliefs and your family's, number one. Number two, this was not an activity during the school day. It sounds like it was an after-school event, an open house. That's not mandatory. That's not under the compelled attendance law of the states for public education. And again, I want to emphasize that you have if you had a church obligation, that you had the right to go there and your daughter can't be penalized for it. So I'm going to get you in touch with our legal department here at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we'll get you some help.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us, is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in this dark world, that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness,
right,
but you're actually bringing light into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision, mm-hmm, about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace, in your home, just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way? It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I was just listening to a previous highlight of you guys sharing about faith and about the woman who came up and said that she wanted her daughter healed, and the people that was working with Jesus on his team, his disciples, said, you're really bugging us, you know, mm-hmm, away from here. Mm-hmm. And then you think Jesus is going to turn around and go like, y'all shouldn't talk like that. And then he goes there and says, I'm not going to give this to a dog.
Yeah.
Right. And you got to know Pat. I mean, he was so serious when he said, I think I would have left about that point.
I would.
But he's really growing in this. He's really growing in this. I think he's hanging in there. He'll even switch teams if Jesus is on another team, if the Saints are playing. Oh my goodness. You know, that was a good word about being persistent. And I meant faith and persistence, you know, faith and patience, and that's persistence. We talk about a love movement, we talk about a faith movement, but there's one other attribute that we don't talk about, which is called patience. You know, enduring and continuing with all these interferences and all these difficulties without complaining. You know, I remember once I complained once, but but you ever complain so much, you know, that all of a sudden you think, I think I'm tired of hearing myself complain.
Yeah.
You know, it's a sign that you're not being patient. You know, sign you're not being patient. And, or it's a sign that you're not being loving. And thank the Lord, you know, God has just blessed me to be able just to relax and more than I used to be. And just enjoy and just watch people do stupid things and just go, There's a day I tried to rescue everybody, you know. No, that's stupid. They look at you. I know it's stupid. See ya. And it's like, what are you doing? You know, you just felt this false sense of responsibility that you had to help people. And it's like, you know, God lets people make those decisions. You know, and if I want to encourage you that if you're walking around with a huge, heavy burden of trying to prevent people from hurting themselves, you're not God. You pray for them, you give them advice, and then you just do their funeral. I mean, there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah.
People just don't, sometimes they just refuse to listen. and or you comfort them when the consequences of their decision is there. And but if you get trying to, you know, you're almost vicariously suffering their same consequences by trying to get in the fire, you know, with them to rescue them versus reaching down into the fire with your hand while you're still standing on the solid ground of stability and confidence and trust in the Lord and holding your hand out, not grabbing their hand, holding your hand out, because the Lord takes nobody by force.
Mm-mm.
As a matter of fact, he'll turn around like you guys were talking about and just say, I mean, I'm not going to give the bread to the dogs. I mean, you're going to be tested. Mm-hmm. And it's just any, I mean, you think about, you know, Song of Solomon when he's talking about his bride. I mean, that's how it's you know, what a typical human being expects in a relationship who's flawed. You know, God perfectly understands that is what a relationship is about. You know, you want to be together. I mean, Jesus knocks on the door, but he don't kick it in.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? He don't kick it in. Somebody says, well, if Jesus kicks in my door, I'm with him. You know, and you find out, you know, that he didn't kick it in. He won't do that because it's love. Love's not about kicking in the door. Love's not about forcing you to do something. Love is about, you know, we won't quell. We won't quell. We won't quell. We won't quell. Somebody got a handkerchief? Why? I got quell coming out my nose. You won't quell? I'll give you quell. You know, you want money? I'll give you money. You want, you know, popularity? I'll give you popularity. Until you can't stand it no more and you're hooked on drugs and everything's falling apart. What do you want? I'll give it. If that's what you want, I'll just give it to you. I want you to want me. And the way he's designed things, the way God's designed us, is that we can want all these things and we can take all these things, and with everything, I mean, gaining the entire world, it still will not satisfy what only Jesus can satisfy. And so many people know about this because they went on that journey, and at the end of it, Jesus was standing there with his arms wide open, and he's saying, and he still accepts us at that point.
Thank God.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes, very.
It's totally amazing. And when you get to the end of yourself, like the prodigal, you just kind of say, you know what? I've been wrong. I've been horizontally wrong, and I've been vertically wrong. I've sinned against my Father, and I've sinned against God. And I need to go make this right. I need to humble myself and just be glad to be there. You know what I'm saying? I'll be a servant in my Father's house.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's the plan on talking about this particular topic? Because I've been kind of waning away from it for about 4 years now and just kind of pushing it away because it's a scary topic to talk about. But we're just going to talk about John this morning. No, seriously. The topic of pride. And it's like, you know, all of us have a tendency to, you know, a lot of people think of pride as throwing your head up and being self-confident and overly self-confident and thinking of yourself more highly than you ought. But really, the biggest form of pride is self-preservation, protecting oneself, demanding one's way. Basically, the whole world centers around your own thoughts. You know what I'm saying? You're like the epicenter of everything. Everything has to go through your mind before it's right. And it basically tells the world, sit down and let you know if I'm going to receive you or not. And it's like scary because, you know, God resists the proud. And as human beings, we just have a tendency. Human nature has a tendency. It's just amazing. I mean, it's just totally amazing that, you know, one of the, I guess maybe the biggest form of pride would be false humility. You know, where, you know, Rick Joyner talks about that in one of his books. I forget which one it was. And he says, probably Epic Battles of the Last Day. And he says, you know, these are the folks that stand up and say, you know, I can't do nothing. I'm an F, you know, I'm a failure, you know, and they talk about all this kind of stuff and they just immediately just degrade themselves. And then they step up to do something, you know, and in the name of God or whatever. And, at that point, it's all about that person. They just focused in on that person at that one point. And I've already failed already, so don't judge me. as I've already judged myself. And it's a form of false humility. It's not true humility. Humility mm-hmm. is that you're not even aware of yourself. You know, that song years ago with Willie Nelson was, "You Were Always on My Mind." Mm. It really is. Mm-hmm. I was always on my mind. You know, it's like, it's amazing. What'd you think about today? Oh, me. What about you? Oh, just all variable ways. I was thinking about how I can get this and get that.
Multidimensional.
And I was thinking about how I didn't get my way today and I should have had this. And then I was thinking about what I really wanted for breakfast, but I didn't get it. So when I was at lunch today, you know, I got what I wanted. And then I was driving down the road and somebody cut in on me. And then I realized that although I'm American, I'm not a millionaire like other people are millionaires, and I think I should have $1 million, and I shouldn't be sick. And this is the prayer life. Oh Lord, it's me, myself, and I. And I was just thinking I needed some more stuff, because my stuff, although it's not worn out yet, I'm just tired of it. And and you know my heart. You know it's good towards me. And it's just like, it's crazy, but mm-hmm. it's true.
Mm. So true.
And it's just like,
sadly,
oh my goodness, what are we going to do with this? I mean, you think about Moses, right? And he's looking, he's singing the same thing. He's thinking, I got to lead these folks across the desert. I was fine with Jethro after I buried my first experience in ministry back in Egypt.
And
I gave up on ministry. I was done. I buried them pretty deep and ran for my life. And so, you know, and I took off, and I've been back here with Jethro, you know, my father-in-law, on the backside of the desert. And I hear what the bush is saying. You know what I'm saying? I hear what the burning bush is saying, God. But I don't think, you know, he stuttered. He said, I don't think I'm the right person for this, you know. And then he says, well, God says, I'll tell you what. I'll put somebody with you that lies. I'll send a liar with you, right? His brother.
Yeah.
You know, Aaron. And it's like the very first person, you know, his first two people he killed, and the people he was trying to help, you know, narked on him, was going to try to kill him, you know. And then his first assistant is a liar. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how this clothes just jumped out of the fire, this golden calf thing. I don't know what happened. I'm a little blurry there. It's like the trial going on right now. It's like, are you serious? Are we this? The hour is so sudden. Anyway, so
all right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today.
Oh my goodness, aunties! Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Taqueria Ogies. Authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham has reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom, and the Word of God, the Word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org. Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. I mean, at that point, you're thinking, okay, I didn't want to go in the first place, and now you're giving me Aaron? That's my brother, God. I understand my brother. He's not going to be the person that talks. I mean, he's going to talk for me, but he's going to switch it up. He's going to twist it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what's interesting that Moses still spoke when he came to Pharaoh. Right? Yeah. And he finally got there and said, you know, Aaron, I think I'm going to get this one.
I think I got this one.
I got this.
I got this one. You go back to that cow that didn't jump out of the fire. And so, you know, and then the temptation is at that point, he's like, I didn't want to go. But now, and I'm, because he's, you know, Moses is looking at his flawedness himself and his rejection, being rejected in his first attempt of ministry, his abandonment when his mother kicked him, you know, put him on a log and sent him up the river, you know, put him in an ark and sent him up a river.
Right.
And, you know, luckily the Duck Dynasty found him out there. that's a fact, Jack.
Jack.
And so he, you know, I mean, think about his life. So many people today, like, they would go like, yeah, my mother rejected me. I never knew my father. And they didn't care about me, and now I'm being raised by these folks, but I don't like them either, even though they're taking care of my needs. And you'd hear about all this American stuff, you know. It's like, ah, yeah, you don't understand that many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's plans that prevail. God is training you up. You'd be dead, boy, if it wasn't for God not sending you up that river. This is all ordained by God. Shut up.
Right? Right?
Amazing? Yeah, how amazing how many people, they don't see God's hand in everything that they're going through.
Right.
It's all preparation.
Yes.
It's all preparation for that next place. But yes. God, you know, what the enemy meant for evil, God meant, right?
Yeah, God meant it. God meant it. And so here he is, and I'm talking about, you know, that this is who we are as a people. This is God's in love with a flawed, misguided tendency to be very self-centered and prideful people. And if we repent of our sins, he forgives us of our sins. And so we have to understand, if he's in love with us and he's in love with those around you, you got to be careful about what you say about the one he's in love with, because he actually understands that. You know, many people die early for wrongfully discerning the body of Christ. Moses didn't get into the promised land because he wrongfully discerned the rock. He wrongfully discerned what God was saying about hitting the rock. And so then he goes and, you know, begins to talk to Pharaoh, who he didn't want to talk to in the first place. I mean, imagine that. Yes, I know I was with you, but I just felt this thing inside of me. I was supposed to minister. Yeah, that my first ministry attempt, they did die. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like I was supposed to do that. Didn't they turn on you? That must not have been God. Yada, yada, all that kind of stuff. And then finally, he has to go through these 10 prophecies and God manifesting himself in these prophecies and these 10 plagues. And then the very people again that he is being used by God for God to show himself. You know, Israel's carrying on. You just come here to cause more problem. You've been away. You know, why did you come? I mean, it's just like, think about it. Continually, just nonstop. And then finally, God just gives them all the treasures. You know, God spared them from all the plagues, kept their children alive, you know, and had all of a sudden the ones that enslaved them, they had a transference of wealth, you know, a redistribution of wealth that took place in Egypt, where all the money shifted to Israel, and now they're walking out into the desert and the wilderness, and I mean all that, and they got up against the Red Sea, and still they didn't trust God. They're just going like, "You brought us out here to die. We're gonna die. They're gonna come out." They're sitting here. Imagine what they're worried about is like, "I got this gold and Walmart's on the other side of this river. I can't get the, you know," and so. It's just like, oh my goodness, be careful, because God loves these folks. He loves human beings and forgives us. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, God puts a pillar of fire, to protect them from Pharaoh's armies that are now surrounding them, and who are very angry, because the last plague was they lost all their firstborn sons. So imagine the millions of funerals that had gone on and the stench of death and the angry mindsets that their children didn't lose their firstborn. I mean, they're like, we've been set up to be bait. You were in trouble now. You know, they see it. We got their money. We didn't lose our child. You know, the bugs didn't bite us. We didn't have to drink from Red Rivers. The frogs didn't, you know, whatever. You know, and here we are going to die. It's like, no. God's going to show himself mighty. He's going to show himself mighty. Moses, we're just going to die out here. And Moses turns around to the water and just thinks, I don't know what he thought. But, you know, if we were him, we'd be thinking like, what have you got me into? My goodness, right?
Yeah.
What have you got me into? And then if Moses would have became self-focused like everybody else, it just would have been over. If he would have just begun to say, you know, think about himself, but he just turned to God and he just said, without, you know, being angry with the people, and he had this compassion towards these folks, you know, a God type of compassion. And so he just, God told him, just raise your staff, you know, raise your staff. And he raised his staff, and then God began to adjust nature so that these grumblers, fault finders, and complainers, and prideful folk can get through this nature situation that would have prevented them. He parted the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea. That's major. And then you got to be able to walk through looking at sea on both sides of you while you're walking on dry ground. The dry ground wasn't the big thing. The big thing was those walls of water that could easily just crush you. And if you understand how water works, it works by atmospheres that... if that water comes down on you, literally just crush your body, just crush your lungs, just go because of the pressure of all that water inside. I mean, they're walking on the bottom. They were walking like at 25 feet from the bottom. And so they get to the other side and they start grabbing their tambourine. The very one that's going to rebel against Moses is singing a song, right? Miriam, she's like jamming on the organ. You know, this is so great. The horse and the rider's thrown in the sea. It's like great. Everybody's dancing and singing because the water came in on those guys. And, you know, everybody's all pumped up and stuff. But hold on. Hold on, because the very one that's shaking that tambourine is going to be, can begin to be prideful and envious and start thinking, you know, I'm his sister. I'm his sister. You know, I know Moses. I'm the one that helped put him in the water. I was part. He thinks he's a prophet. He thinks he can hear from God. And then all of a sudden, her arm falls off. Right? All of a sudden, she gets leprosy. Mm. Her body starts falling apart. Her arm didn't fall off, by the way.
Yeah.
She gets leprosy. Moses didn't even know about what was between her and God. She didn't realize that was between her and God. And so Moses comes back, and she's all ashy and stuff. You know what I'm saying? And ain't got no Jergens. I mean, this is bad. And he's thinking, you know, what happened? And God's going, she might as well just spit in my face. See, she thought it was about Moses. She might as well just spit in my face. And Moses kind of understood the heart of God. Because what happens if you hold on, when somebody loves you, you just give them a chance to go through the processes of wanting to kill you. On the end of it, they're still going to love you again, but they got to go through that brokenness. You just ripped God's heart out. You know, you just ripped your parents' heart out. You just ripped your, you know, somebody's heart out. And so you hold on. I mean, you could die in that whole thing, but if you just lay low, do like a dog, roll over on your back. I just saw my son's dog and Max, and he's kind of like rolled over. Like, oh, I'm fine. And anyway, and Moses didn't do what so many do, is get offended with his sister, because she was speaking against him, but God didn't see it that way. He never saw it that way. And it was him, her, and Aaron, his very helper, right? His sister and his helper. And so nothing like help, right? This is the love. I'm saying this because God's in love with us, even with our flaws and all that. And you have to realize that these are the people God is bringing out, and he's beginning to reveal himself over time to them and reveal what's in their heart. And so God's just ready, basically, you know, he wasn't going to whack Aaron because Aaron had the anointing on him at the time, but believe me, he would soon suffer the consequences when the time was right for that very thing that he did, and a couple things that he had done. And so Moses began to pray for Miriam and just said, you know, hey, you know, can you heal her? You know, would you spare her? And so God's going, that's when God's going, listen, she might as well just spit in her father's face. She might as well spit in my face. And just put her outside the camp. Just get out, right? Get her out of my face for a while.
Right.
Can you imagine today? Like, and then he told me to get out of his face. And I don't know. And it's just like, we're America. We don't do church like that. And it's like, but you got to understand, if you want to be close, this is something about getting close to God. It's exciting. When you get close to God, it's the most exciting thing. And God gets close to you, it's the most exciting thing. But you know what? It's also what? It's the most terrifying thing.
Right.
Because the consequences. I mean, God begins to hear the whispers in your tent. You know, God begins to know, begins to reveal everything. And then all of a sudden you're walking beside somebody and all of a sudden they get ashy. And like, what happened? It's like, right? And you don't even know what's going on. And God knows what's going on. And you're thinking, you know, what happened? And then normally if they got ashy for being prideful, they're not going to say, oh, I was just rebelling against you, and I was talking really negative, and it looks like I found out I was talking against God, not you, and my arm just fell off, you know. But he prayed for her, and God healed her. This is Israel, the apple of God's eye, you know. And look at today, even today. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio.
Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. We want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a brother, sister, I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. And he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the Multiply, it's the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe VineFellowshipNetwork.org is for you. Or go to MultiplyMovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. You know, but still, there he's walking along, you know, with these folks, and it's getting kind of, everybody's getting thirsty, right? They're beginning to complain. We might as well just died in the desert or in Egypt. At least we had water. Yeah, we had bricks and straw to make and all that stuff, but still, you know, they fed us under socialism there. We didn't have God, you know, but, you know, communism took care of us there. And so Moses didn't lose it then, because remember, Moses could say, listen, you know, I don't like you guys in the first place.
I didn't want you anyway.
I was fine with Jethro. I was tending to my business on the backside. And if I just wouldn't looked at that bush, Lord, have mercy. He didn't say that. And all of a sudden, they finally get to a water in the desert. And of course, everybody's pumped, right? Oh, water. Right? Well, maybe Moses does know what he's doing. What's this, like, he didn't now? He didn't. Like, what are you doing judging what God is? What? Who are you to judge? Where did you come from? And then amazing, it's like, I guess he's got it right now because he got some water. Then you stuck your lips in the water. And now it's bitter. And now you judge and say, he missed God again. It's like, now we're going to die. We're going to die out here. Oh, my goodness. Like, is this a bipolar experience here? Is this like, you know, what's going on? Is your, you know, what's going on here? And, of course, the Lord turns the bitter water to sweet water when Moses turns to God and doesn't say, why did you bring me out here? Right. You know, I had a great job. I was doing well. He turned and he said, he was had compassion for these guys to have some water. This is a friend of God. right?
Mm-hmm.
And they start drinking the water. I would, you know, it's like, it's amazing. Human nature is like, aren't you embarrassed? I'm not worthy to even taste this water because I just rebelled against you. And I just basically cursed God and I wanted to turn back to the devil, turn back to Egypt and the world and all the things going on in Egypt. But you know what I'm saying? But so many people that can they'll run down there and begin to splash that water and not even think once about, do you know who you were 5 seconds ago?
Lapping it up.
Do you remember who you were 5 seconds ago? But that's not Moses. He didn't do that. It's just amazing.
Mm-mm.
You know, we need help. And so
we need to follow Moses.
That's what I'm telling. A friend of God.
Humblest man ever walked the face of the earth.
Yeah.
To Jesus.
Yeah.
Outside of Jesus, right.
Right. Outside that guy we met in Israel.
Oh, yeah. That's
it. He said he was the most humblest man.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're not talking about Jesus either in Israel.
Mm-mm.
So here he is. I mean, think about it. And so finally, you know, he finally, God says, okay, now you got these folks out here. I want you to come meet with me for a while. First, I want you to prepare them up, get them ready, because we're all going to meet. And they do all these different stuff. But then, you know, God begins to walk around on top of the mountain. Boom! I'm at lightning and thunder and shaking and stuff. And now these folks, the whole reason they came out was to be able to meet God. And then the awesomeness of God shows up, and they're terrified to go meet God. It's like, what? What do you think I'm out here for? I would be back at Jethro's house. I wouldn't be out in the wilderness. This is why we came out here, just to meet the Father. But he didn't do that. He just said, okay, I don't think they want to come meet you right now, Father. God, right?
Right.
And it's amazing. And so he says, okay, you guys stay down here. Don't even touch the mountain, by the way. Don't even touch it. You know, I'm not going to kill you, but an angel will. And he goes up and has a chat with God. Because God's going to begin to reveal his heart and desire for mankind through Moses. And he shows himself to Moses, the glory of God. Now show me your glory.
Mm-hmm.
And he shows himself. And then God's finger writes in stone the Ten Commandments today that Americans are snatching off of everything. The finger of the creator of the universe wrote these Ten Commandments. And that the church is minimizing and that the world is ripping down off their walls. And then he takes these two tablets and goes down now to meet the folks. And he finds out, we already knew because God told him, but he finds out, it's different when you hear something, but when you go down and see what's happening, because while he was on top of the mountain talking to God, the very reason, that's what it was all about. I was like, what else did you think it was about? What did you think it was about? What the heck did you think it was about? I'm telling the church needs to wake up. It's about Jesus. It's about God. What do you think it's about?
Right.
It's crazy. 80% of worship, 80% of those that worship in regular church attenders say that worship is about them. 97% are robbing God. They're not even giving God his tithes and offerings. And all these folks who had all those signs and wonders and the parting of the sea and pillar of fire and pillar of smoke and bitter waters to sweet and healing and all these different things, seeing the mountain shake and quake with just conversation with God and Moses, they were just all into just everything but God. It wasn't even, I mean, they're living in a land with nothing. It's desert. You'd think at a difficult time, you would focus, you'd pray then, you know what I'm saying? That'd be a time to pray.
Yeah.
You know, seeing you're going to die tomorrow if God don't give you some water. And he came down, and his very brother had led a revolt against God. And he had everybody take all their jewelry, all their gold, threw it in the fire, melted it down, and formed a calf, which is Baal, an image of Baal, carried it, carried it on their shoulders. People unclothed themselves, got naked on it, and they began to worship it. And then he comes down. Now, this is when I think this seems an appropriate response, right? Moses comes down and he sees this. You think about it. You know, my life started being, you know, sent up a river by myself. You know, I was raised in Pharaoh's house. I tried to do what God's called me to do. Ended up in a mess. I had to run for my life. I'd be dead now. God speaks to me to come talk to you guys. I confronted this dude that nobody would even talk to that would kill me if God wasn't even on me. You saw the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the everything that God did. God healed you. You saw the mountain quake and you had a fear of God then. But 40 days later, you're actually worshiping a foreign God. You're worshiping your gold, your job, your money, your country. And so he takes the Ten Commandments written by the finger of the creator of the universe and throws them to the earth because they broke. It's the broken law. Mm. It's the broken law. I mean, I'm telling you, a day is coming where God's going to begin to divide those that are his from those that are not. He talks about it. Jesus says he's going to divide them out. And so what he did was he said, listen, Levites, I want you to go get your swords and I want you to go amongst these folks. And everyone who's not stand is not for God. I want you to do away with them with a sword. That's what's going to happen on the last day. That's what's going to happen, by the way. You know, everybody's hanging around. Everybody's like, okay, great. I'm with God's people. I must be God's people. Well, you'll know when they throw the net in the sea and pull out the fish and throw us on the shore and they start picking out who's with God's and who's not. Mm-hmm. When they start dividing the sheep from the goat, you're going to know. And so we saw what it's going to be like. They went through the whole crowd and began to slice and dice. And all of a sudden, the earth split and the earth swallowed. It was just horrific what took place.
Yeah.
And then Moses had to go back to the mountain. And this time, he had to ride him out. He had to hack him out with a stone. And God's like, I'm just out of here. I'm just out of here. I'm just going to kill him and we'll start over with you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that would be a great moment in most human nature, right? I think that's really a wise thing to do because I've been working with these folks for a while and they probably, you know, right? I mean, God's saying, I'm going to kill them and start over with you.
Right.
So I mean, it's God, so it's got to be an okay thing, right?
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola. Not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Oh my gosh, Steve, have you seen our new Facebook page?
That is awesome. Yes, I have.
All our radio subscribers need to do is go to our Facebook page and you go to facebook.com/VFNTV and you can check it out. It's constantly being updated. There's new radio segments posted daily. Mm. And I want to encourage you to like us and have your friends like our VFN TV page on Facebook.